Well, let's take our Bibles and look together once again in Acts chapter 7. I know it seems like we're not making any progress, but we are. We're moving forward as God directs. But Acts chapter 7 and verses 44 down to verse 50 will be my text. And I want to speak with you, and I don't know what word you have in your language, but distorted worship. Distorted worship. If something's distorted, it means it's out of sync. It's twisted. Something not right about it. Distorted worship.
Katika nitangulieni mabaibu watu, mbuku na mashikio, mtu 7, ilimaka 44, ulegeza 50. Zikozo mwani kama kutimu ina siku upanga kwa janziru, kutisitu bidula kwa sukoro, kumatu kupanga jina jake jukwa nili tisiwa. Maka mtu meleza katu kula mkula ndi, chibembezo, kyo kota kota, kyo sanunjika. Verse 44.
Let me read it in English by verse like we did last time. I'll read the verse and then you can read in your language. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen.
Chihema cha umboni chinali ndi magolo atu mchiburu. Monga adalamula iye wakula mkula ndi mwase. Achipange chimunga machitunzi cho adachiona.
Verse 45, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus or Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Then verse 46, who found favor before God, that is David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob.
In verse 46, amene anapeza chisomo pamaso kwa Mulungu abwakwa sa David ameneyo.
Verse 47, but Solomon built him a house.
Verse 48,
howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet.
And
I'll read 49 and 50 together. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?
Imaga 49, you read 50. Tambo la kumanda, ndilo mpandu wa chikifumu wanda. Ndibuzi kwa lafasi, choko ndapo mabazi anga. Mwizendi mangira nyumba, yotani. Ata mwe, kapenda maro ampu mungo wanga, yotani. Sirina kanga, tanjalanga, zizose kodi.
Now, at first glance, it may not be very clear or evident what is the connection between what Stephen is preaching in these verses concerning the tabernacle and the temple and with what we saw previously of them making the golden calf and God giving them up to false worship, to worship Molech in verse 43 and also the star god Remphan. Figures, it says there in verse 43, which he made to worship them. What's the connection?
Unali kwa kunija kuti pakare tiziwe kurumiki zika kuti uchifocha ni Stefano, amalankula za chihema, amalankula za kachisi, umene mosa da usidwa, mpili kurai negra kubankidwa, comanso să zic pe mezuri, vedeți că fara da la tare de grava ale mulțimea de apă de tri, să zic hema cea mă rochi, comanso za mirumbia nienezi, iare fani, comanso zi tunzi zombra zi vanga cu zi rambira. Dar îi cumiți zi ca guanti, din fuzuire izi va morții.
Well, here is the connection, and that is that the Jews, after that temple was built, had made an idol out of the temple, which is just as distorted, that's where the message title comes from, distorted worship as worshiping the golden calf, as did their fathers, or Moloch, or the god Remphan. No difference.
Kani nguli panalibe kusiana kumene kulashika ndi anthu awa pamene adapanga fano la mwana wa ngombe komanso napembedza chihema cha Moloki kana pembedza nyenyezi za mulungu wa Efani padali kusasiyana nkhani yaikulu yakuti anthuwa adalowa muchipembedzo chokhotakhota chonse mchika.
The Jews in Stephen's day had made an idol out of that temple, so much so that they were blinded as to why the temple was built in the first place.
Kani yakuti Ayuda anapanga chihema chao adapanga milungu yao kunja kwa kachiswa Mulungu zimene zidathandizirewo kuti khungu lawo lipitirire kunasaone chino chidachofungana chizindikira.
Remember that the whole reason that Stephen is giving this defense before these religious leaders is because of their accusation back in Acts chapter 6 and verse 14 that this Jesus of Nazareth, notice, shall destroy this place. They couldn't take that. And here's a reminder that idolatry is in the hearts of men. And given the opportunity, people will even take what is true and make an idol out of it.
Kumano nkhani yake yona kuti kupembedza mafano kumachokera mu mtima ndipo anthu amakhala ndi mwayi wotenga choonadi ndi kuchisanduliza kuti akhale fano likhale fano kukhale kupembedza mafano ndi zotheka.
You remember the children of Israel after Moses had made the brazen serpent, it says that they began over time to worship the brazen serpent.
Musa iwalenso anaizeli mchipulu pamene Musa adapanga njoka ya mkuwa zitathaizo anthu adakhazikitsa kukhala chipembedzo mapembedza njoka ya mkuwa imene Musa adayipanga.
And it was years later that the Lord raised up Hezekiah as a king, and the first thing he did was to take that brazen serpent and grind it up because they had made an idol out of the brazen serpent.
Taiwale kufikira nthawi ya Hezekia pamene adalowa ufumu choyambira chimene adachita ndi kukhwanya fano la chinjoka cha mkuwa chimene chidayikidwa chifukwa njoka ya mkuwa idayamba kupembedzedwa ngati fano.
And the point that Stephen is making here is that even in building a temple unto God, that that temple was never designed to be permanent. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that Christ was come, that temple had no more importance or significance, and yet they continued to give it significance and importance.
Kumanso, izi ndi chithunzi-thunzi pamene padaperekedwa kachisi womangidwa. Kuli kachisi amene adamangidwa sadayikidwe kuti anthu amupembedze kuli kapena ngokhalitsa ayi. Zidali zithunzi-thunzi za chabe zakubwera kwa mbuye wa Yesu Khristu. Kodi Yesu Khristu atabwera kupembedza kachisi kudatha kachisiyo adali kuti watha mphamvu chifukwa mmiwake ya chinthucho adafika koma anthu adayamba kupembedza ngati fano.
And for the very reason in verse 43 that God carried Israel away into captivity in Babylon because of their idolatry, Stephen is warning them, as did John the Baptist, of the wrath to come. What he was talking about was the destruction of Jerusalem, where God purposed that since they would not give up that worship in that temple, continuing to offer sacrifices after Christ's sacrifice had fulfilled it all, that God would indeed destroy that temple and that the Romans would come and take over Jerusalem.
Musaiwane mundimenga kode hii mena maradza kuti ngati kukanano kutsogoro kwache mwa Babulo. Nkhani ndiye kuti pamene Yohane Mbatizi amabwera ananenera kuti idzafika nthawi imene anthu sadzapembedzanso mphiri komanso Yerusalemu adzaonongedwa ndipo ulamuliro wa Chiroma udzatenga gawo, udzatenga ulamuliro ujawo chifukwa cha Yerusalemu kuti waonongeka. Adakatayikiratu zimenezozo kuti zidzachitika.
We see the same type of idolatry going on in our day. People have made an idol of the land of Israel. There are tours that go over there all the time. People pay money. They accuse the Muslims of paying so much money to go to Mecca. But even professing Christians today have made an idol of the land of Israel as if that land is still of any significance to God. I'm telling you that the only reason that God ever preserved Israel to the day that he did was because he promised to bring his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through that nation. But now that Christ is come, there is no other reason for that land to exist other than God's faithfulness. That's it.
Chimodzimodzidu kupendeka mafano mpaka nalero kuchitikade. Chikuwa a Kristu akumono ngandrama zao kubira ku Israeli, ukaona uri kumbe Yesu Kristu adabadwira kuona zinthu zachipembedzo. Anga Kristu aslamu amono ngandrama za tiri mbiri kubira ku Maka ukaona kwa Muhammad. Mene mwomu ndimerezi kukhali. Koma chifane ni chiyani Israeli adasungidwa abe mpaka nalero. Cholinga chimene adasungidwira nchifona kuti Mulungu adayikira kuteteza mtundu uwu chifukwa kumene Yesu Kristu adadzabadwireko adzatuluke. Nje adangobadwa Yesu Kristu kufuko iliri, fuko ili lidatha mphamvu ndipo lidatha ntchito, chimene changotsala kuti padakhazikitsidwa mpingo watsopano kumene ndi fuko latsopano limene Yesu Kristu adalipanga yekha. Basi.
There are people today that have made an idol out of the law, out of the Ten Commandments. We have neighbors here in the United States that have the Ten Commandments on a sign out in front of their houses that identifies them as being law keepers. That's how they want to be known. They've made an idol out of the law.
Kuna kwa Amerika, mwenye antwate chikila, adetika malamuro, kumi aja ama wamata mnyumba. Aka wamata mnyumba, chodika jake chodika kumuta akalo wa mnyumba, kwa wakangwelenga kukuma, kwenye kwenye malamuro kumi. Azizoza nari, alfanyumba inoyo, ama suka chilamuro. Kutelo koso chilamuro, chika kalafano, adetika mando kalafano, kumadila mkula, kumadila chika, fano, malamuro.
And just as these Jews were ignorant of the fact that God had raised up that temple to be a type and picture of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The priests, the sacrifices, the altars, those are all types of Christ. And when Christ came, he fulfilled it all. Today, many still don't see that that law has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God, and everyone for whom Christ has accomplished that law stands justified before God.
Chimodzimodzili ayuda mpaka nalero sadziwa ndi kumvetsetsa kuti kachisa amene adayikidwa zaimene jayo chidali chithunzithunzi cha mbuye wathu Yesu Khristu. Ndipo ambuye wathu Yesu Khristu atabwera adafika kuchitiko chechi chidatha mphamvu. Umuntu chimodzimodzi imenenso chili ndi chilamulo pano. Anthu ambiri adachitenga chilamulo kukhala ngati champhamvu. Koma nkhani yakuti Yesu Khristu atabwera adakakwanitsa chilamulo chonse
The amazing thing is that these religious Jews accuse Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, of being a lawbreaker because he would not submit to their rules and regulations concerning the law. In fact, he condemned them. And I will tell you the same disdain that these religious leaders had against Stephen in his day exists today. It exists there in Malawi. It exists here in the United States. If you don't believe me, just try this. Go around to every one of the buildings, the places of worship that you have there in Lilongwe, they call themselves Christian or evangelical. And let them know that that building that they have spent so much money building is of no importance or significance to God. In fact, it's a detriment. And that their preaching of works and morals and the law, even with the Bible open, is a damnation. Try preaching that and see what kind of reaction you get.
It's
like somebody saying that they went to Mecca to worship their God Allah and came back and feel more blessed because they went to Mecca. People today, if they make a trip to Jerusalem and they come back with some soil or they come back with some water out of the Jordan River, they feel like they're more blessed because now they've got a piece of the soil of the Holy Land. You see that the idolatry is everywhere. But what Stephen was saying here concerning the temple is important for all of us to remember, and that is that God never had that temple built or caused it to be built because it was going to be permanent. In fact, what he says there in verse 48, because he reminds them in verse 44 that that tabernacle, it says, of witness in the wilderness that was appointed for Moses to build, and then later David building the more permanent temple, a more permanent fixture. But then you notice it says in verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And he says, as saith the prophet.
Mujimaga 48 amakayanga
So, again, getting back to what is distorted worship? Distorted worship is any worship that is not in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Stephen had already brought that out in, earlier in his message referring to Moses, because they elevated Moses above measure. But Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why he told them there in verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. What Stephen is defending here in this message is that he's reminding these religious Jews that even though they were venerating Moses, they were venerating the temple, they were venerating the law, in other words, worshiping these traditions, yet he's reminding them that none of those was established as an end in and of themselves. They all looked forward to this one, Jesus of Nazareth, whom they now were denying.
Jeno kamene Stefano ama kala kula chintu ichikwawa ama kuna kukaone sira poera kuti anga kare anthu ama mukweza kwambiri Mose anali kukweza kwambiri kachisi anali kukweza kwambiri zimene Mose adachita komatu choninga chake ndi chindunji sikunali kukweza izizi ai chikwazi mayangana mtsogolo za chintu chine chiti chikabwere ndipo chimene chidali choposa chimene chidali kutsogolo kumene kumaonetsedwa.
If you go back to verse 44 where it says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. That word witness means testimony. That the Ark of the Covenant that contained the laws was a temporary ark. It only existed until the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is the true testimony of God, came in the flesh, and tabernacled, that's the word that's used there by John, dwelt among us. Christ is that witness. Christ is that covenant, Ark of the Covenant. Christ is that tabernacle.
Kurangazo zoona kuti pamene kudabwera chihema chimene chidakhazikika chapembedzedwe ndichinthu chonse zonse zimakamba za Yesu Khristu amene adabwere kutsogolo ndi chimene chidatofunikira ndi Yesuyo kuona kuti Yesu adabwera chihema chidakhala chopanda ntchito chidakoletsedwa chidatha mphamvu akusandenda kuchiyamika ndi kuchitamanda ndi kuchikweza ayi.
I know we've taken a few weeks to go through this message of Stephen's because it's so important, but if you look at it, he was answering every charge against him being a blasphemer. That's what they were accusing him of. And I will tell you, that's what people today will accuse us of when we stand against men's rules and laws and traditions and customs, they will consider you to be a blasphemer.
Ngati inyo kudzadzuka ndikuyamba kulalikira chindunji kuonetsa kuwera uthenga wabwino, anthu adzakutengani ngati amwano ochitira mwano malamulo a wanthu, malamulo amene amaona ngati malamulo a Mulungu.
But what I want you to see here is that in every accusation, Stephen didn't argue with them, he simply responded with Scripture. And that is how we're to respond to men today that ask of us a reason as to why we believe what we do. It must be according to this word. What was their first charge against Stephen? Well, it was that he blasphemed God and Moses because he didn't preach Moses, he preached Christ. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 11, when he was preaching, it says, they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. That's why he was summoned. How did Stephen answer that charge? Well, Acts 7 and verse 37, he quoted the Old Testament scriptures. He quoted Moses himself, who said that God would raise up another like unto him, and he said, him shall ye hear.
Imene Mose mwini adalankula kuti uyu Mose amene adalankula maone kuti kwa Israeli Mulungu adzakutsani mmeneri wa mwabale anu monga ine. Adayankha chonjo Mose. Yesu adalankula kuti mmenero Stefano.
The second charge they brought against him was not only did he blaspheme God and Moses, they said, but he spoke against the law. You see that in verse 13 of Acts 6, and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. I'll tell you that even today I get people that are upset because when I preach from the Old Testament, I preach Christ. He's the fulfillment of the law, but there are those that will say, well, then you're not preaching the Bible because all you do is preach Christ. We need to hear more of morals. We need to hear of standards. We need to hear the law. See, that's distorted worship. Not to see Christ in all of Scripture, whether it's in Moses, whether it's in the law, or whether it's in the temple, is distorted worship. It's to worship God in a way that he has not ordained, and it is idolatry.
Anzuru amati tsulsa amati tsulsa ine ligamana ligira uchenga. Maka maka ligamana ligira chipangano cha kale. Chipangano kama jina ligira chipangano cha kale. The scenario sikana palipose lima wana kwa Yesu Kristu. Nde lima la ligira Yesu Kristu yeka. Kukwa zimelezo kwa ligira Yesu Kristu yeka. Zima wanyasa antu. Sabri zana na azu. Iwo ama kuna aziva. Kuna hii mwingu. Kwa kuli ama kuna zifa maramulo. Ama kuna zifa za mose. Azifa za yoso. Azifa za alfa. Kuna na chita zifu. Kwa kuma kuona mtu acha kubana huyu angali murungu angali murungu angali murungu angali Yesu simene zusima kwa sewa acha kukutwa ni kusante teta fara ama ushusa uchenga ujikuwa ni mungu kweza kwa Yesu tena malikosa.
Ever since it pleased God to reveal Christ in me and I've come back to this word, these scriptures, I pray he opens my eyes to have no other subject than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New. But I will tell you, if the Lord so directs you to preach, and He will if you're His servant, you are going to face opposition. People are going to get upset.
Kuna ni mamene mbila libra uchenga, tena palipo sere njima kuona kwa Yesu, njima kwa Yesu Kristu. Nipo sinika siye kula libra uchenga wa Yesu Kristu. Anga kareswa inuyo, kutafika kwa uchenga wa kumbu kapali, mutara libra Yesu, Yesu yeka, yeka, tena palipo sere. Kula libra Yesu Kristu, Kristu yeka, kutatutsa mabibajigwa, anadamu tutsana.
I will tell you that distorted worship is false worship. There are people today that would preach against golden calf worship. There are people today that would preach against giving their children to the god of Molech. There are people today that would preach against the worshiping the star god of Egypt. They're against all of these forms of worship. And yet don't see that they themselves are idolaters in how they worship.
Koma sabu zindikira iwo eni yakewo kunina woso ngoso ndiba kupembeza mapano ama kwanisa kuona mapano umewoso ndio kuna woso akupembeza mapano uo chadi mene.
But here is the point that where God grants repentance toward him and toward his son the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a renouncing of every false way of worship, whether it's tradition, whether it is a ceremony or an experience or a profession, all of these things go away, are wiped away by the Spirit of God to be given eyes for Christ only.
Ni mafano. Kaya nukubembeza miambo, kaya masambidwe, kaya malamulo, kaya nukubembeza kwenye kulikonsa kumene pepozo kukunziwa. Mangu mwache ana kutandizira kuona kumene kusipembeza kwa hendela nukubembeza mafano. Chifuwa shani kumene kwa kutandizira kutuku uone kumembeza mafano, nukubembeza kwa hendela kutikuma unjiva kwa Yesu Kristu yeka.
Here's an example. The Lord has created us with two eyes. Now you think about those eyes looking out. If we ever start seeing double, we're in trouble. I don't know anybody that if they start seeing double, they're going to say, oh, don't worry about it. It's okay. No, they're going to go find help.
Mm-hmm. kuona kumata inimona kumwini iso ni kuona zina ni kuona zina kai mwini kumana kaa isimu soweta soo chakizwai nili mwina kwa mdini maso ni mwona zinzuzuhidi kai mwini maso mwona mwosiana aida mwkabila rima mwono kuzika na chakizwa zika maso mwona kai mwona zinzuzuhidi mwona.
There are many you're going to run into that say, yeah, I see Christ, but also I see the law. And so we got to have both. What Stephen is showing through this message is that all of Scripture, the law, Moses, the temple, all of it pertained to this very one that they were denying, Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
He was showing them from the beginning of this message that just as Joseph's brethren rejected him, and just as Israel rejected Moses for the worship of the golden calf, so they were in the same distorted worship in rejecting Jesus of Nazareth, God's son, to continue to hold to that temple, which God purposed should be destroyed.
I
dare say that the natural mind is the same way today. When you begin to confront sinners with the person of Christ and his work, what do they try to do? They immediately try to see how that can fit in with their teaching of their denomination. In fact, I was speaking earlier with somebody that just joined us on the French broadcast, and when I asked him about his faith, he talked to me about his denomination. He told me he was raised in Assemblies of God. He was raised as a Pentecostal. And I had to correct him and say, that's not what I asked. Tell me about wherein is your hope of salvation? Where is that based or founded? He couldn't give a clear answer.
But
each one of us that has been confronted with the gospel and by the Spirit of grace has had to deal with this, to where God strips from us every idol, every confidence, every hope we ever had in our upbringing, lays us low at Christ's feet, that Christ alone be exalted.
Tradition
runs deep. I can't tell you how many people have asked me if I would come to a dedication of a church building. And I would ask them, well, why a dedication? Well, it's because it's the house of God. And I have to remind them, no, not even the temple was a house of God. In fact, Solomon acknowledged that, where God said, heaven is my throne, verse 49, earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me? If we're thinking that where we worship is the house of God, our God is too small. Where you find people all excited about their place of worship and not the message that is to be declared in that place of worship, you have distorted worship. As beautiful as Solomon's temple was when he had finished building it, verse 48 says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Not even that could contain God. If you look in Acts chapter 17, this is the same message Paul preached there on Mars Hill when he saw all of these places that were devoted to different gods, and just to make sure they didn't miss one, they also had one devoted to the unknown God. You see what he said in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Try going and preaching that throughout the long way. Try preaching that here in the United States. You've already offended a lot of people because they think very highly of their places of worship and the money they've invested to build it. And then look at verse 25. Neither is worship with men's hands. See, not only is this against the temple, but it's against the law, because men think, well, I'm bringing something. God expects me to bring something. And one of the biggest things that preachers like to preach today is tithes. Don't come empty-handed. Make sure you come with a gift. And yet here it says, neither is God worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. How about that for coming out of my need Not because God needs anything, but out of my need. And the one other area of pride is who we are. We think we're better than everybody else, and yet here Paul says to them in verse 26, God, the same God, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He's saying the fact that you're of Israel or not of Israel, as far as a natural Jewish seed of Abraham, makes no difference with God. Someone said one time that there are three different prides from which God has to strip us. Our pride. Three ways that pride manifests itself. The first is the pride of place. In other words, we're proud of where we are. We're proud of where we worship. We're proud of our surroundings. That's a pride of place. And I realize this may not translate the same in Chichewa, but there's a pride of face. In other words, proud of who we are, not just where we are, but who we are. Proud of being in front of people and how people think of us and how they respond to us. Us. Pride of face. But here's the big one. And again, we're looking at distorted worship. How many have a pride of grace? In other words, they're proud of the fact that they believe that they're God's child and others aren't. Pride of grace. You know what? All that has to go away. And this is what Stephen was facing in preaching the gospel. He was in front of these that were proud of their place. They were proud of their face, and they were proud of their supposed grace that they thought they had before God. And yet, the conclusion in verse 51 is that you're just as stiff-necked and uncircumcised. That's a strong word for a Jew. That means you're no better than the Gentiles. In your heart and ears, and you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Try preaching that in most congregations today and find out what kind of reaction you get. Every denomination has its pride. The denomination that most of you came out of, Pentecostalism, they're proud of their teaching on the Holy Spirit, supposedly. Can you imagine going in now and saying to them, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, because where the Holy Ghost is at work, it's not about tongues, it's not about miracles, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the Scripture. Try preaching that, and I dare say if there's a pile of stones somewhere nearby, you better run for your life, because they're about ready to stone you. I was raised a Baptist, and I'll tell you, those of the Baptist denomination, they're proud of their structure. They're proud of their order. They like everything a certain way, and you better never get out of line according to the Baptist way. Otherwise, you're going to be ostracized. All of that is distorted worship. Again, if our confidence is in our tradition or in our heritage or in our personal keeping of the law or even in certain ordinances and how we keep them, if our confidence is in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ alone, it's vain worship, it's false worship, it's distorted worship. When the Lord is pleased to do a work of grace in the heart of one of his own, we see him stripping away all of those confidences, all of those traditions, all of those works that to which we were attached and brings us low at Christ's feet. We see an example of this in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman, that the scriptures say it must needs that Christ go through Samaria. Everybody avoided Samaria. They were half-breeds. That's the way the Jews looked at them. Because back in the tradition of the history of Israel, the Assyrians intermingled in marriage with those from Samaria in that area. So the Jews, the pure Jews, considered them to be reprobate. And yet here was one who was the Lord's that the Lord had come to seek and to save. But as the Lord, our Lord confronted her, look in John chapter 4 and verse 20, her immediate response was, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." See, she was already going back to tradition. Well, here's our tradition, that's your tradition, being a Jew. Our Lord strips her of all of that. And look what he says to her in verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me." You see, this is where faith is. It's in him as the person. Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Christ is stripping all of that away from her.
Yes.